And he said, I want you to listen to something. And he held the phone down, and I heard those little lamb sounds of a newborn baby. And he said, Grandma, this is Madison, your first great-grandchild, and she's 10 minutes old. That's what AA is all about. And I believed in God. And it helped me. I didn't know how to let go and let God. Never. And so I asked you, because, you know, you're always running around, let go, let God, let go, let God. Well, how do you do it, you know? And you said to me, did anybody ever fix anything for you? And I said, yes, my Scottish grandfather. And they said, give us an instance. And I remember when I was having tea with my Raggedy underneath a cherry tree, and the dog came along and grabbed her and tore off her arms and made a big hole in her chest and was tearing her hair. She had a button eye like that. She was the best friend I ever had. And I picked all this up, and I took it, and I climbed up on my grandfather's lap. And I said, Grandpa, can you fix this? And I will never forget those strong arms around me. I will never forget those blue eyes looking in mine when he said, I cannot fix her, Bethy, until you let go. And I released that doubt. And I didn't give him instructions, a time limit. It was that blind faith of a child. And when I let go and let God, that's exactly how I have to do it today. And letting go and letting God help me with my first, fourth, and fifth step. Because I had to come to grips with the fact in my fourth step that I am responsible because of irresponsibility for the death of two of my children. And that was tough stuff. I had a little girl that was a year and a half old, Kimberly, and she got measles. And back then you had to watch kids careful, real carefully. I was in the kitchen drinking, and Annie, who then was 3 years old, came out in the kitchen and she said, Mama, Kimmy looks funny. And I said, go away, Ann, I'm busy. And she was back in a heartbeat. She said, Mama, Kimmy's the color of the sky, and she's going fine. And I hit Ann. I told her to leave me alone. I was busy. Annie went next door and got a neighbor. And the neurosurgeons at Rainbow Babies and Children's Hospital in Cleveland said that Kimberly had suffered 4 very violent convulsions and had lost a lot of oxygen, and mentally she regressed back to a 3-week-old baby, and she stayed that way until she died when she was 9. We had to put her in a private home because my husband said nobody can look after her. He made it a point to go down and see her 3 times a week, plus he took the children down there as they came along to introduce them to their sister. I never saw Kimberly sober. And when she died on a Good Friday, when she was 9, he went down with a funeral director and brought her home. And he combed her hair, and he sat by her in the funeral home, and I stayed home and got drunk. I also had a little boy in 1970 that lived 8 days, and he died. He died of acute alcohol poisoning because his mother had drunk around the clock, always, always. Listening to this. Everything is going to be just fine. Well, it wasn't. That was tough stuff. And you, thank God, taught me about forgiveness. And how you started me was this. You said, Beth, God knows everything you've done in your life. Everything. And yet God saw to it to forgive you enough to hand you the gift of sobriety. And if God has seen fit to do that, who are you not to forgive yourself? You're getting in God's way. And that's where I started. It took weeks, months, years, people. And I have come to grips with the fact that, you know, sober, I am the best mother and grandmother ever. Drunk, I am worthless. I believe amends are how you live your life today. And with all my mistakes and fallacies, you know, I try to live my life as best I can. My children